Marto, Ed and Robin, Brisbane's second best way to drive to work. The best way is in a new car from Old Mac Mazda, Cleveland and Springwood. Their end of financial year sale finishes June 30.
It's time. It's time that we finally talk Origin to somebody who knows every single thing that happened, not just us speculating with some experts or anything. Kevin Walters, Maroons coach, congratulations.
Thanks, Marto. Yeah, it was a great day, great evening, wasn't it, Wednesday night for the Maroons and all Queenslanders. I thought we bounced back pretty well, particularly the players. I mean, they put in a performance that we can all be really proud of.
I rewatched the game yesterday, Kevy, and...
Who are you, a selector?
I'm available. I am available. Yeah, and struck me about game two, not much has been said about Gavin Cooper, but the defensive job he did and the way that Dylan Napa, every time Dylan Napa gets the ball, Kevy, it feels like it's his last run in his last game. He's desperate to get through the line. I love it, Kevy. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, look, it was awesome, Ed. And you're right about Troops. He was fantastic for us on that left edge. He's an unassuming type of person. He, you know, gets around camp and he doesn't say a lot, but he's such a big body as well, you know. And he's he was great, particularly for Jonathan Thurston. Jonathan, I thought he protected him a lot, doing a lot of his work. And, yeah, it was good to have him back in the side. He was one of those guys, he came up after the game and said, mate, thanks for the opportunity again. He said, I just didn't want to be... I mean, my first origin was great, but I just didn't want to be one of those guys with one origin beside their name. So he's got the double up down. And
he doesn't want to be Danny Nutley.
he's great. Hey, talk about that. What about Tim Glasby? Are you blaming him for those two tries? Because I reckon Will Chambers sort of stuffed him around in one of them.
Yeah, he got caught in an awkward position there with Mulaney. Yeah. He's pretty quick on his feet. So we'll... and the second one with... I think that was Moose, wasn't it?
It was Moose. That was Moose.
But, you know, Timmy had a good game for us. But it's always tough in your first origin, yeah. As we've seen over the years. The more you play, the better you get. And we saw that with Dylan Napa. You mentioned him, Ed. His second stint. Wow, what a performance from the big redhead. That's what we knew he could deliver on at this level. So if he can do that, game three, let's look out, you New South Wales forwards. Because, and after the game, the poor bugger, he was lying on the massage table. He could hardly move. They were belting him. They were whacking into him so hard. He could hardly move, the poor bugger.
Good. But Kevy, come on, tell us. We've got some injury concerns. And the one and only JT, you've had to bring in NASA.
Yeah, look, we're going to try and do everything we can with little Johnny. He is really knocked around, I've got to say. Very doubtful for game three. I don't know how he got through the game, to be honest with you. He's such a tough bugger. The doctor came up to me at halftime and said, John's shoulder's pretty buggered. And I said, oh, okay, because I could see what was
going on.
What
sort of a doctor are you, just sacking? Go away.
So I went over to John. I said, John, how's your shoulder, mate? And he just looked at me like... Oh, nothing stopping me from the second half, mate. Yeah, you know, and that goal that he kicked. Honestly, like I was sitting up in the box, I'm thinking, oh please, John. I've seen you hit the post in 2015 in the grand final. Not this time. And sure enough, he slotted it through with one arm, basically. It was unbelievable.
That's an interesting choice for a coach to make, though. That you know his shoulder is dodgy, and you're going into the second half, and you're going to send a player who we all know is legendary. But you also know that he's injured.
You've got to have him.
Yeah, we've got to have him. And he was prepared. He was okay with it all. He knew what he can do, little Johnny. I've never seen a more mentally tough person because he was obviously in quite a bit of pain. Mm. And they were coming at him, that Frizzell and Jackson, and they all, you know...
He still made a few, mate.
He just got his body in front enough to slow him down enough. With the assistance from likes of Cooper and Darius Boyd was on that left edge as well, helping him out defensively. And then, he's just incredible. One of the greats of Queensland, that's for sure.
What do we do about Darius Boyd? Broken thumb, he's definitely gone. What's the story on Greg Inglis?
Greg's still a mile off. We could roll him out. We probably wouldn't be much help with this, Marto. So,
what are we going to do?
May I make a suggestion?
Well, we had Cameron Munster there as our 18th man. He's played some centre at
like
that level.
Him.
And
yep.
Very much respected amongst the group with his defence and the way he goes about his footy. So he'd be an option for us.
We got the fourth selector here, Ed.
May I make some suggestions? Kevin Walters.
Of course you can. Let me get my notebook out here. So I'll just write this down, Ed.
Use the permanent marker,
mate,
Kev.
There you go.
Here we go. Maybe these suggestions are so good. You should probably etch them into a tablet of stone of some sort. I say let's start Morgan at centre because that's where he played to flick the pass that got the try that won us the game. Morgan starts at centre, and then we put McCulloch on the bench just in case we need someone to
tackling
come out and make 40 tackles to help JT.
Yep, and so it's JT's playing, and we're going to put Morgan at left centre, right?
Yeah.
Hear that, Lockie? Lockie's here as well, Harry. Kevin,
can I ask
you? In all seriousness, sorry, Robert, that's not a bad option, mate, because Morgan, I believe, well, he has played a lot of centre.
He's played centre,
He laid that try on the other night, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
For Gage to win the game. So, yeah, great work, selector number four. You're on top of these things, Ed.
And I'm just going for the little personal touch here. Can we have Sam Thaiday back, please?
Sammy's got two games to get through, Rob, certainly. He's not forgotten from the selector's mind, Sam. He's been a great player.
Give him his 30th,
come
mate.
Come on, Kevin.
Give him his mate Thursday.
Well, hey, listen, we've got 2 weeks of footy, and I'd love to have Sammy back in the Origin side. We all love Sam. He's a great fellow. He's done so many good things for Queensland. So
do you think
the line is not through Sam Thaiday.
Good one. Do you think we should apologise to Andrew Fifita? Apparently a couple of blokes sledged him after the game.
Poor Andrew, did they? Well, mate, he was a big, obviously, focus for us throughout the week, Marto, and
done nothing.
I thought that the guys did a great job.
It was beautiful.
But
we've
got to do it again in game three because he's a dangerous bugger.
He's a dangerous bugger. That is official. The official line. He's a dangerous bugger. Kevin Walters, Queensland coach, always makes time.
Yes,
always
we
makes
do.
Time for us. We'll see you on Fox Sports over the weekend, and we'll hear you on the M's. Great job, Kevy. Well played.
Yeah, let's
buddy.
Enjoy the next few days, and then we've got Origin 3. Come on, Queensland.
Okay, so this is a sporting chat, but I guess it is really a mother's take on a sporting chat and a legitimate question. So I'm in the car last night. I'm taking my middle son, 15, Lewin, to his football assessment, and they do this mid-season. He sits down with the coach, and I sat down with him, and they went through how he's going and where he's at and, you know, attitude and aptitude. And
what's
you know,
that about?
Well, it's just to kind of encourage the players to see where they can do a little bit more work and also to recognise in the coach's eyes to him how he's doing well.
Okay, that's fine.
And, you know, as we're moving forward in his sort of football schoolboy career, he's really passionate about it. And I actually appreciate as his mum to know where he's at. Now, this is the same child who a couple of years ago held the most yellow cards for the league because he never knew when to be quiet. And he's worked on that a lot and he's got a whole lot better.
Right.
And
let me ask, is he the only one who does a football assessment therefore?
No. They were all allocated.
Are you sure?
They were all allocated a 15-minute window, and each player was waiting outside. It was a bit like a doctor's surgery to go in and.
I find that to be bizarre for 15-year-old children. But
really?
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciated it because I figured that he was getting supported and he knew what the coach was thinking, and it was really clear. And anyway, so we're leading towards this.
I understand it's semi-professional, but not with kids.
Okay. Well, hold that thought because this is my question. As we were driving out there, I was listening to Dead Set Legends, which comes on at 6 o'clock on Triple M, and I was hearing them replay the Joey Johns complete blasting of the New South Wales Origin team. Now, if you didn't hear it, here's a bit.
So I think it's the dumbest half of football New South Wales have played.
Yeah.
They had all the running. Their game plan was perfect. Jonathan Thurston, his shoulder is stuffed.
Yeah.
There's your game plan. You just go at him all night. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
So
they had all the running and they invited Queensland back in. They stopped playing. Then they went back to this out-the-back rubbish block plays and they just were no threat.
So here's my question, right? So I'm operating with children who are playing, schoolboy football, and they're being told to be leaders, to support their team, to have good conduct on the pitch. Mm. And then you hear a professional sports person and commentator saying that New South Wales should have been picking on the weakness of Queensland's best player. At what point does that shift? Like, at what point is it okay to go out and target? Because I'll tell you now that if our football boys, soccer boys, did that, they would be blacklisted from other parents.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am. Because there's this code of conduct that happens with schoolboy stuff where we're telling our children to be sports-like.
It's the difference between soccer and a body contact sport.
Is it?
God, yeah. That represents an opportunity. Are you telling me if there's a kid who's got a knee problem and can't run fast enough, they won't try to run around him? Are you telling me if they're
Run around him, yes. But actually pick on him.
That is picking on. That's picking on the fat kid. You're running around him. That's picking on him in a different way. See, soccer doesn't have the physical contact, the physical threats that the body contact sports have. And therefore, if you've got a kid who wants, or let's call it adults. If you've got an adult who wants to stay on the field and he's injured, you go at him because that's an opportunity. Of course it is. If he wants to stay on the field, if he's injured and he wants to go off you go and get a freshie on. But if he's injured, you go at him.
So are you telling me that in 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old rugby league, rugby union, they are saying, that's the weakest kid, hit them? No.
Well, that's why you shuffle out. Oh, God.
No, I get it as an adult.
If you're
injured, you
get shuffled out to the wing. If you know you're injured and you think, I might get over this, I might be able to run this out, or my shoulder might come good, like Thursday. He was hiding for a while, Thursday, trying to get over his shoulder. And then he was trying to get Gavin Cooper to hide him. So
is it the right thing to do? Let's go. A lot of people already calling. Is it the right thing to do at any level of sport?
I think it might be a soccer.
Or maybe it's just a mother question. And, you know, maybe it is just a mum going, oh, my God, is that what they're telling our kids to do? I don't know.
Brendan from North Lakes. Is it okay to go after an injured player, Brendan?
Yeah, look, I went through schoolboys with Paul Green in a Brisbane representative side.
Oh, wow.
And I was 18 years of age and 106 kilos. And it was up to me to get out there and take out the larger, more prominent players, not just focus on the weak guys. You targeted the guys that you know were impact players. So you're not just singling out the weaker guys or finding the weakest link. You were going after the guys and you were hurting them.
It just seems so dirty. It just seems like it's not sportsmanlike. I readily am happy to admit that it just may be a mother's take on competitive sport. But I don't know. You're agreeing with Marto and he says the same thing. So maybe I am in the minority.
Well, there's some guys that play rugby league and there are some guys that play soccer. So we'll leave it at that.
Oh,
interesting. Thank you, Brendan.
Thanks, Brendan.
Goodness.
Tense. Oh, well, that is right. I'm sorry. I'm surrounded by soccer people in this studio. I must tell everyone that.
But the simple fact is,
a body contact sport is completely different. So you've got to look at opportunities that represent themselves. You don't want to run at the hardest guy. Do you realise Trevor Gilmeister, no one ever wanted to run at him. He didn't look very big, but he was the greatest defender. So you run at other people.
But do you remember, not so long ago, that really large kid who was like 8 or 9 but looked like he was 14 and he was throwing opponent players, literally throwing them.
I've coached against those kids all my life.
Okay, but that created a national story because people were up in arms that it wasn't fair.
Hold on. What people were up in arms? Mums were up in arms. If you asked any of the kids, and these are the kids that I coached that had to play against these enormous humans, was sometimes wrong. We thought it was wrong. Those kids relished the opportunity of pulling him down. You're a hero.
But what being thrown to the ground and being hurt?
Doesn't hurt. Kids are made of rubber.
Tess is from Gingerly. Tess, what do you think? Is it okay to go after the injured players?
No, I don't. I'm with Robin on that one. I don't think it's a mum thing either. I think it's a sportsmanship thing. And, you know, 20 years ago, you never saw that sort of thing happening. There just seems to be no class left to the game anymore. They make a point of going after the hurt person and making something worse. It's not sportsmanlike.
Greg, is it okay to go after the injured players?
Yes, I agree with Marto and Andrew Johns. I always believe it's getting the edge above on top of the other team. If you have a look back to cricket, it's not a non-contact sport. Michael Bevan would have played more test matches if he could play the bouncing ball.
So people targeted
him with the short ball and had someone in close. It's always called getting the edge over your opposition.
See, I agree with getting the edge on someone's like game weakness, but if it's a physical thing and they end up getting hurt, that's where it sits uncomfortably with me.
They've got the concussion bin, take him off. If he's got a bad shoulder, the doctor should have said, mate, you cannot go back out now. Your shoulder is gone. It's going to damage more. We're sitting you out for the rest of the game.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Debbie, what are your thoughts? Look, you know what? I'm sorry, Robin, but I completely disagree with you. You, as a son of a mum, we tell our kids, and they're under seven, that if you, that kid doesn't like tackling, you know what? You go after that kid. It's just part of the game. Don't do anything illegal. Don't hurt them.
No.
But if you can expose a weakness in their game, then you go after them. That's part of the game. And I, being a New South Wales supporter, I completely agree with Andrew Johns. Everything he said was right. New South Wales broke my heart because they just stopped playing properly. But, and the other thing that Tess said about 20 years ago, that's complete rubbish. 20 years ago, they were worse. We've come a long way in that we recognise that, you know, kids can get hurt, so be a little bit more gentle.
But that's my point. That's my point, Deb. I get
you're not
it.
Hurting them. Huh? You're just exposing their weakness. If they can't tackle, you go after them because you know that you can get that ball off them and you can run. I'm not saying go out and hit the kid. Don't do anything illegal. Play within the rules of the game.
Thank you, Debbie.
You. Appreciate that. A ton of calls come through. Thanks so much for your responses. Brendan, how did we go?
Yeah, more people siding with Marto there, 70% yeah. saying that it was fair. It was an okay thing to do.
There you go.
Marto, Ed and Robin, 104.5, New Triple M.
You are the blokiest blokey bloke I know, Marto. So I want to ask you this question. Yeah. It's made it to page 13 of today's Courier Mail. It's in the federal politics section. And there is the Green Senator, Larissa Waters, and she has made history in federal parliament because she had to stand up and there was a motion being passed and it was about the black lung disease. And of course, she had to be a part of that motion, but she was breastfeeding at the time. And so it meant that she had to stand up while still breastfeeding her child to pass the motion as what happens. And she's really interesting because she made history in March about allowing changes within federal parliament to allow new parents, both male and female, mums and dads, to do brief childcare in actual federal parliament to enable her to bring her child in. So she's done a whole lot of really revolutionary stuff. Yeah, this is her second. I guess my question to you is this. Like, it's been such a big deal and everyone's taking photos of her with this motion and she's standing up in federal parliament and she is actually breastfeeding her baby. But I guess I'm curious as to why it's actually made the paper, because breastfeeding to me is one of the most natural things in the world. And we have, a lot of us have been lucky enough to be able to do it. Mm. So as blokes, is this newsworthy to you? Is this something that you react to?
Not at all. I don't bat an eyelid at all.
Does anyone?
I was fascinated before I had kids, but after that I went, it's a natural thing.
See, and this is what I was that's what I was hoping you'd say, because there's been all this big deal and I'm kind of like, haven't we actually moved past
that? Are they still making
a
big deal about it in 2017?
Well, it's in the paper. Wow. There's a photo of her doing it.
I know.
And I was thinking,
is that just their way to get some boobs in the paper?
Do you reckon? Oh, please don't say that.
Because
that's not a bad call.
Because Marto
should be on page three.
Both had the same response. Yeah, okay, and who cares? Well, why can't you do that? Who cares? And then it smacks of, this is a big deal, is it? Well, it's not, but we've got to fill time, so it's a big deal.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. That is exactly what I'm asking you. Because in 2017, I've kind of moved past all of that sort of 1950s ideology and thinking that actually now we're much more functioning as men and women and it is a part of our life and no one goes, ugh! So,
and what you're saying, Robin, is that natural bodily functions should be allowed wherever they're appropriate. Can I extend your logic to that?
Don't lie ahead, but get that yellow card ready.
What you're saying is that, A, and we all agree with this, that people should be able to breastfeed when and where they need to.
Yes, because you are nourishing life.
Slash and want to.
Yes,
right?
Agreed.
That's absolutely fair enough. And by your logic, Robin, and I know you feel this way, that should extend to that if you are in the bathroom at Northies and you have to do some bubbling, then you should be allowed. Oh, come on.
No, I don't.
Robin said it.
Don't bring me into your yellow cardness. I am well and truly out of this. You are a disgrace.
Robin was the one that said it.
No.
I'm merely backing up her point of view. And if anyone wants to write this as a headline, Robin Bailey says on Triple M Brisbane that bubbling is a part of life.
Go away, Ed Cavalli.
Marto and Robin.
Mike off.
The new Triple M.
Let's talk about the smartphone.
Yeah,
you're quite addicted to your phone, as we all are.
Well,
it's
it ends
the
up
thing.
Being my laptop.
But,
that's what I use.
Yeah, well, they're now talking about there is a swing against the smartphone and going back to the dumb phone, because people are getting very concerned by the amount of apps that they have on their phone and security.
Yeah.
What's going on? Why?
I can see this.
I can see it too. Because you just, the whole premise of having all your banking details, having all your personal information, all of it stored in various apps on your phone, where none of us are very clear about where that information can be accessed.
Yeah. Can I do a snap poll?
Yeah.
How many people in this room have ever read the terms and conditions on an update? Or an app.
I don't think anyone ever has.
That they've installed.
They wouldn't lie to me.
They would. But no, have you ever? I have never. No. I accept.
Yeah,
what's
cool.
That? Firstborn child. Yeah, you can have it. Whatever. just give me the app.
Mm.
Oh, God.
And that's what this is happening, isn't it, Robin? People are going, right, do you know what? Maybe I don't need my bank details just available on this app the whole time.
And we all kind of think that being able to have your banking on your phone makes it quick and you can pay bills and so on, but who else can access it? So there's now this real push to go back to the dumb phone, and Nokia are bringing back their 3310, the indestructible, thick as a brick machine.
The 3110.
Yeah, that's it.
What a classic. I mean, the only thing that you can do on that phone, if someone broke in and stole your snake score, that's the only possible piece of espionage that
could be found.
How
much bigger, remind me, is it then, say, the iPhone 6, the 3110?
It's much smaller. It's a palm of my hand.
So you can only make calls and text, is
that it? Now, I know a lot about this because with my teenage sons, one of my boys in particular is very, very iChild focused and tech savvy.
Yeah.
And when I was shutting down all access as kind of punishment, he got a brick phone because that way I knew he couldn't be talking to his mates, he couldn't be accessing gaming and stuff on his phone when he was out of my care, like at school and so on. So I actually have one of the old bricks at home, and any time any of my kids lose privileges or whatever and I want to shut down their world, they can have a brick so I can
still
call
connected.
Them.
Do you know, things have changed, Marto. In your day, the threat used to be your dad would go, "Oh, go and get the belt." And now Robin's threat is, "I'll get the Nokia. Don't make me use the Nokia, kids."
That's so true.
It's so true. But it works an absolute treat. In fact, I would suggest this for up and coming parents,
Ed.
Yep. You know, always have that in your back pocket as the ultimate threat.
Can they get stuff from your laptop? Let's say you decide to go to one of the Nokias and you need to get emails and any other banking details on your laptop. Can that be that can still be stolen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would presume. I mean, who knows what goes on in the cloud? Like, seriously.
Now you're being interesting.
Marto's never heard of it.
I was going to say, the look he gave us then.
I mean, what happens in the cloud? Really?
Oh, that was my thinking look. I'm going, who knows what goes on?
You were looking for the cloud in the studio. You were looking over there.
Well, you tell me what the cloud is.
It's a terrible place. It's a terrible place where all your information lives.
Yeah.
And there are men, and only men really, who've had terrible, terrible situations where they've had their phone going on in, and they've been looking up certain websites and certain things, and then their laptop has fired up at home where their wife is, where they've gone, hang on a sec, I don't know this hub. We don't normally go to this hub. Or this reddest of tubes. You know,
okay.
And Robin, it's the new Triple M. I've never heard of any of that.
No.
Laura V, Australia's leading dog behaviourist. Her new book is out now. It is called Dognitive Therapy, lauravee.com.au. G'day, Laura.
What's going on, kids? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, we love having you on. We had so many calls last time with people with questions about their dogs. Our first caller is Greg from Newmarket. Greg, what is your question?
Yeah, Laura, I've got your book, Dognitive Therapy, and I'm only the first or two chapters in. But I got a Kelpie. I had a 6-month-old Kelpie, all right? And it's time. Yeah. The vet sent me a little note. It's time to... How do I say this?
D-sex.
Have him D-sex?
Yes. Sure. I was going chopping the gonads off.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? I've got people in one ear going, "Nah, you'll lose his personality," and other people going, "Nothing will change about your dog."
I think mostly blokes are petrified of this because
they're their own.
Oh my God. I cannot imagine anyone ever doing that. That's just cruel. But if you think about life from a dog's point of view, they kind of don't have the freedom to get on Tinder and go and find their own mates like we do. So it can be really frustrating for dogs. And you do get behavioural problems. You get them peeing everywhere. You get all those sorts of kind of irritating issues with intact males. So I always recommend that you be a responsible dog owner and you have your dog neutered. So I definitely think that's a goer.
Because people said, it'll jump any fence and it'll just disappear for 2 or 3 days and have its way with some other dog.
They can't think
They can't think straight. Okay. They cannot think straight. You call their name, you give them roast chicken, they don't care. They just want to find another female. So they will they will jump mountains, they will climb whatever they need to get to another female.
I can see, I can hear what you're saying. They will find Mitchell Pearce any way they can. So, Laura,
it doesn't matter where Mitchell Pearce is, they will find him. They will find him.
Laura, don't you get involved in those gays. Come on, you're better than that.
I don't even know who Mitchell Pearce is. I'm involved.
Let's leave it at that. And Laura, quick question for me, and then we'll open it at 133353. I have a greyhound, and I also have... lovely rescue greyhound. However, my two dogs have, they do like, if a possum is on ground level, it will not survive the exchange. And I guess what I'm asking, can you ever unblood a dog?
You know, well, greyhounds have got that instinctive prey drive, and that's what makes them run so fast. It's really, really difficult. You can work on those sorts of things, but you need to find something that they love more than chasing and killing a possum. So sometimes that's just a squeaky toy to get their attention and then redirect and play a game with them. You know, sometimes those sorts of things can work really well. Sometimes it's just easier just to try and prevent those situations from happening. It's
okay.
Really tricky.
Laura V, Australia's leading dog behaviourist. Her book is Dognitive Therapy, but right now you can speak to her if you have a behaviour question about your dog. She is one of the greats. Do not miss this opportunity. Any dog question you've got.
Okay, Sarah of Kalanga, you have one for Laura. What is it?
I have a border collie that is very nervous and tinkles quite easily when he meets people and just a really anxious dog. Any suggestions there?
Did you say he tinkles, like he wheezes?
Yeah, a little tinkle.
Did you rescue the dog or have you had them since a puppy?
I've had him since a puppy, but there was a few dramas when he was born, I guess. Where his mum rejected him and stuff, but I don't know. I know.
He's
been to school and all that. He's just real nervous.
You know what? Like the fact that, you know, he had a really tough sort of time when he was first born, that can actually shape a lot of who he becomes when he's older. The fact that he did have that trauma can be one of the reasons why he does have that anxiety problem. So when he meets new people, I would definitely just get people just to ignore him. And when he sees new people, just make sure you've got some really yummy treats in your pocket and reward him just for seeing people and slowly build that confidence. So when he sees someone new, he gets rewarded for it. And then gradually over time, you're going to notice that he's getting more and more comfortable and actually looking forward to seeing people because guess what? Gets roast chicken whenever he sees new people. So give that a crack.
Okay, thank you. Will do.
Good on you, Sarah. Good question. That's a nice one.
What's with the yummy treats? What yummy treats are you talking about, Laura?
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, hey, I want you to be really awesome at your job and really try hard for your entire life, but I'm not going to pay you for it. So for dogs, you know, I mean, they need something to work for. They need to be motivated and, you know, food is a really important resource for dogs.
Fair enough.
So we use that to our advantage.
Okay.
Yep, like it. Is this Damien? Damien is up next. Damien, you've got a question for Laura?
Yeah, Laura, how you going?
Hey, mate, how are you?
Thanks for your question.
See you later. Who's next, guys?
Come on, Damien.
Hey, I've got a Ridgeback Kelpie Cross Mastiff, 11 months old.
Yep.
Won't stop digging and chewing everything. How do I stop from digging and chewing?
Is that when you're home or when you're away?
Probably he does it at nighttime and also when we're away.
Okay, so how much exercise is he getting a week? How many times are you taking that for a walk a week?
The wife generally walks him 3 times a day.
Three times a day?
Jesus.
Wow.
She takes him morning, lunchtime, and we go together.
And how old is he?
He's about 11 months old.
Oh, okay, you did say that. Sorry, I was listening. So at night time, do he sleeps outside?
Yeah, he's got an undercover in the patio area.
Yeah, can you bring him inside?
In the house.
He's shaking his head right now and going, what on earth are you talking about?
He doesn't want to.
You don't want to bring him inside the house?
Well, we sort of agreed not to. Why would you say bring him in the house?
The reason why we recommend that sometimes because dogs are naturally needing to want to be with humans. And so when they're separated from us, they kind of don't understand why. And they can perhaps panic or get frustrated. And that's where you get those digging behaviours or those barking behaviours. So sometimes just bringing them inside overnight can solve that problem. If you don't want to do that, get yourself a treat dispenser and just fill it with food and give that to him last thing before you go to bed. And that would give him something to do.
Yeah, you've done that.
Time to go inside, Damo. Damo, get a bigger bed, buddy. That dog's coming in with you, my man.
Damo doesn't want a dog.
Well, you know what? Sometimes that's what, even in the laundry, something like that. You've got to think from your dog's point of view. I know that we've lived our whole lives thinking you can't have a dog inside. Yeah. But times have changed, mate. It's okay to have dogs inside, even if it's in the laundry.
Thanks, Laura. That's a thank you, Damien. Appreciate that. Finally, we go to Annie from Birkdale today. Annie, you're on with Laura V. Her new book is Dognitive Therapy, but you get to ask a question. Take it away, Annie.
Yeah. Hi, Laura. We've got a Rhodesian Ridgeback and a Labrador, and we cannot feed them together because the Ridgeback is so dominant, and she will leave her food, go for the Labradors, he'll back off. So what can we do there? Because at the moment we're feeding one outside, one inside, but yeah.
Yep. I think, in all honesty, I never recommend you feed dogs together anyway, because even if they've got more food in their bowl, they still want the other bowl as well.
Yeah.
It's just a natural instinct. So they're always looking for how can I get more than what I've got right now on my terms and who do I need to beat up for it? So for dogs, it's really important that you don't make them feel anxious and competitive during food time. It should be a calm, relaxing time. So keep them separated and make that separation a positive thing. So, it's something that they look forward to. Even the dog that has to go outside, that's still a positive opportunity for them to get a really high value resource. So anyone who's listening, it's not generally recommended to feed dogs together because they can't rationalize like we can. They don't sit down with a knife and fork and be civilized. It's just, how can I get as many resources as possible?
It's true. They used to have to do the same thing with Clive Palmer and Laurie Oakes in Canberra. You could never
I'm sure they
feed
still
them.
Do. Yeah.
Never feed them next
Clive
to each other.
He'd eat anyone up for some feed.
Oh, I've seen him. Take someone's hand off for a spring roll. Hey, Laura.
He just rip it off and eat it. Absolutely.
Straight away. Laura V, Australia's leading dog behaviourist. The book is called Dognitive Therapy, lauravee.com.au for all of the details. Sorry that there's so many other people that we can't get to. We'll get you back on this time next week. Let's do it all again. Good on you, Laura.
Awesome. Can't wait, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Did you see that first ticket allocation? Your golden ticket, if you got your tickets, was revealed yesterday. And
is this for the Commonwealth Games?
For the Comm Games. Sorry. Massively oversubscribed.
Yeah,
but we'll hear the report on Channel 9 last night.
The opening ceremonies are sellouts, so too the finals for track and field, rugby sevens and swimming. Almost 40,000 people wanted to watch netball's gold medal clash. Only 7,500 will get the chance.
What about that one?
I'm not very happy about this because I tried over about a six-day period to log on and I got all three of my boys together so that we could sit and allocate which tickets we want and we could never get on. So in the app, I gave up.
You're watching the marathon, love. That's about it. Or like this bloke, he got in.
International bowls. Never been to international lawn bowls before.
Mate,
can I make an announcement?
Yep, go on.
I'm as yet... I have not yet been asked to do commentary on the lawn bowls. As we know, I do the Premier League bowls every year from my bowls club, Pine Rivers, at the end of the year, which is fantastic. And I have not been asked yet. So I'm just putting that out there.
That's a slight.
All right, let's talk bowls. Well, we've gone down that alley. Now, your bowls is the T20 of bowls. That's what you do each year. This Commonwealth Game bowls is Test cricket bowls. It goes. Hey, I've never told you, have I? I've worked for a Channel 2 ABC at the 1982 Commonwealth Games. I was very, very young.
What was your job?
My job was to sit in a van in the car park at Maruka Bowls Club for 10 days in a row for 11 to 12 hours a day. And write each bowl as it got rolled down on a piece of paper, logging them so they could go past. Like you could go to the ABC archives right now and there'd be somewhere. Wonder who threw that eighth bowl on the fourth end of Keith Poole versus Roy Perella, whatever their names were.
Oh, my God, you remember it.
Oh, God, I live that. That was my Commonwealth Games. I did that it because sucks. Don't get sucked in to bowls because that bowls ain't fun.
See, most people were getting excited about Robert Di Castella running past.
Now that was a highlight.
The poo story. The poo story.
If they could replicate that. So they're going, the tickets weren't told. Peter Beatty running the Commonwealth Games, didn't gouge people. He actually put sensible prices and it's a real family event. It's a Southeast Queensland event, isn't it? Because I spoke to a guy yesterday. He said, mate, I'm going to clean up on the Commonwealth Games. I've got a house at Currumbin, 12 grand for the 2 weeks. I'm going to Airbnb it. No, that's what he thinks.
Oh.
But he ain't getting anyone. Like, they're not staying at bloody $12,000 for 2 weeks.
Okay, my mum's house is on the Parramatta River. She's owned it since 1967. She's one ferry stop away from the Olympic Village. Yeah. She made an absolute monster.
What, even before Airbnb? In 2000, she made a monster.
Yeah, and there was before Airbnb.
Wow.
So you can, I'm sorry, you actually can. People, there are wood ducks who are coming from overseas, who see all the pretty pictures of Australia, and particularly the Gold Coast. Can you imagine someone who is in the middle of freezing Scotland looking at the Gold Coast beaches and saying, here's a house on Airbnb in Currumbin, and they'll pay for anything.
I hope that person ends up getting billeted to Warwick Capper's house.
Oh, what a treasure.
Are there only waterbeds? Yep.
Oh, how much would the Candyman's go for?
Oh my God. Candyman's joint. A
couple of Jamaicans watching their relay team.
So who's going to go? Let's your hands up. Who's definitely going to go?
You want to go,
Robin? You want to take some kids? What sport you would definitely
I'd
want to see?
I'd love to go to either the opening or the closing ceremony.
Well, you can't.
No, Robin, stop saying that.
You're either going to be going to the cycling or the marathon. They're the only free things available.
I'll have to do that then.
Well, of course, if you are on the committee of the people choosing the Lawn Bowls commentary team, I did manage to find this.
Ooh, I like that. Triple fist bump as he let it go.
Which isn't, I don't think, a move in lawn bowls at all.
You've just made that up.
Ed Cavalier's commentary there could translate to a lot of events.
Ooh, I like that.
Didn't he?
Marty, you want to have a quick chat about Thurston and
Young? Actually, Thursday update. Can we start with that? Back page of the paper. Remember, it's 2 days after Origin. What does that say, Robin?
It says goat.
Do you know what that means?
I have no idea.
Oh, what cave do you live in?
Clearly the one that doesn't have unfair. Goat written on the wall.
Roger Federer.
Goat.
What?
Goat.
Who's a goat?
Nathan Lyon.
Goat.
Bloody
darling. No. The goat.
Yeah, he is a goat.
I don't know what that means.
Goat.
Stands for greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
Give me back the paper.
Fair enough.
Okay. Right, that's the back page of the paper. Anyway, he's pretty close to the greatest of all time. You're right. You're good with that now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, a goat does not come. Anyway, keep going.
Front page of the Courier Mail. God, I love Brisbane. Thurston, we have no problem. You know
no
that,
problem.
You know what they're saying? As in Houston, we have no problem. Thurston, we have no problem. And they got a photo of his shoulder x-rayed and stuff, and they're saying they've got this new machine used by NASA and NFL footballers to fix his shoulder.
Okay, but that photo, like, you can see the x-ray photo. Okay, well, what are we supposed to be worried about, that it was ripped off from his rib cage? Like, what is it supposed to be to say that what's wrong with it? Is it broken? Like, this frustrates me when they put things like this on the paper because I don't understand.
Is that actually his x-ray? Because you can't just put people's
That wouldn't be his. No, that wouldn't be his x-ray. That'd be just a...
That's just a shoulder.
An x-ray.
So what's wrong with him? Has he ripped it? Has he broken any bones?
He just got a bit of a stinger. He's got problems there somewhere, but they're just saying...
Oh, so you don't know.
All right, the most important thing is he's going to be okay for Origin 3.
Great.
All right. That's
but only if he goes to NASA or something.
Let's go back to the back page. Now, the goat thing. Maroon skipper Cameron Smith, himself a future immortal, has labelled inspirational Jonathan Thurston as the greatest of all time. The praise for Thurston continued yesterday in many areas. What I want to talk about is that immortal tag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Now, does everyone understand? I was having this chat with a former Bronco yesterday on the way home. Wasn't Corey Parker, but another one. I don't need to mention his name. And we're talking about what a rip-off the whole immortals. How many immortals are there at this stage?
I have no idea.
Is it eight?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. Now, it started with Churchill, Fulton, Raper, Gaznier, Langlands. Now, no one cares about all of them. They're a long, long time ago.
Oh, that's
and that's great. Let's say they're immortals. And then finally, they made the king, Wally Lewis one. And then they went, oh, God, we better make Arthur Beeson one to make those Queenslanders happy. And then finally, their last masterstroke was making Andrew Johns one.
That seemed a little premature for mine.
Yeah, because there's a whole lot of other players around the ilk of Wally that not been recognised.
All right, the big go now is they're going, we need to go another immortal. Now, this is important because AFL just keeps handing them out. And that's great. That's what I want to see. They have legends and they have their Hall of Fame for AFL. They announced another legend the other day, Malcolm Blight. They've got heaps in there. Keep doing it. But rugby league doesn't want to. They seem to say, oh, no, you've got to be special to be an immortal. All right. I don't want to go. I do realise Cam Smith is going to be an immortal, correct?
Yeah,
we're right with that?
Yeah,
Thurston's going to be immortal, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
You've got to wait 5 years, they're saying, from the end of your career, which is nonsense anyway. Billy Slater may be an immortal. We're in that sort of period. But the problem becomes, we go too far because they're going, oh, let's not, you know, let's not forget about Darren Lockyer. You know, don't, let's not jump ahead. Let's make Darren an immortal. I've got one thing to do.
Langer, depth and beats Gower. Lang on a little chase too. Can he get the bounce? He turns it again. It's doing fine. Oh, yeah. Langer really going hard. Cover the beats going over. Oh,
the lyrics will say it all.
Don't you forget about Alfie.
Oh, wonderful. Don't.
So true.
For your consideration.
Don't you forget about Alan Langer. You're right. The next immortal has to be Alan Langer, and he should accept it coming up in the yellow shirt, carrying a towel. Yeah.
With skin-coloured underpants
see, this
on.
Is what you don't get. The reason why they can't make him as an immortal is because he won't get off the pitch. He needs to stop being...
You reckon it's 5 years from keeping your last sip of water?
He needs to stop being the guy on more than any other player, and then they might have a crack.
I watched the news last night, and they had the replay of Gagai's try. Alfie featured more than Gagai did.
Yeah.
That is my point.
Good call, though. It's a great call. Alfie has to be next. It's a fair statement, my friend.
You know what? I forgot to tell you. I found out why Andrew Johns got it, because his manager used to own the company that owned the Immortals.
It always helps to know.
The NRL have now bought the concept, but there was a company used to own the Immortals.
Yeah. There you go.
Beauty. There you go.